Pray that we'll have a sense of your Holy Spirit touching our lives in this time, but as we go away from here as well. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so I just would like to explain at the start, I'm going to do things slightly differently today. We're used to singing straight away. Well, we're not going to sing for quite a few minutes, actually. And you've all been given a sheet, hopefully. Does everybody have one? So that has on it the passage that we're going to be thinking about today. And first of all, apologies to those of you who've heard me talk about this verse before on a Tuesday evening. But I've given it to you on a sheet of paper because I want to look at it in a translation that is different to the church Bibles. I use the New Living Translation. The church Bibles are the NIV, and the wording that in the NLT is particularly helpful in terms of structuring what I have to say. And I'm basically going to talk about 4 points, which are the 4 points that are highlighted here in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4, which are: don't worry about anything, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank him for all that he has done. But I'm not going to have a 25-minute sermon at the end in which I talk about those. I'm going to talk about those 4 points as we go through the service, and the 4 hymns that we have are linked to each of those points. So you get some idea of the direction of travel. And I'll just start off by reading the 3 verses. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And hopefully that's what we're going to do over the next hour. When my children were young, we used to read them a story at bedtime. And one of their favourites was a book called Peace at Last. It's been around for 40-odd years. Some of you might have come across it. And it's the story about how Mr. Bear and Mrs. Bear and Baby Bear go to bed one night, and Mr. Bear can't get to sleep because his wife is snoring. So he goes to sleep in Baby Bear's room, but Baby Bear is making all sorts of noises in his sleep, so he can't go to sleep there either. So he tries downstairs, and the cuckoo clock keeps him awake. He tries, I can't remember, it's the bathroom or the kitchen, and a dripping tap stops him going to sleep. Eventually, he resorts to the car, and the twit-twooing of an owl keeps him awake until the sun rises. And he goes back inside, and his wife is sleeping peacefully, so he gets back into bed and finally goes to sleep 5 minutes before her alarm goes. And she wakes up unaware that he's been awake all night, and asks him if he slept well. And throughout, every time he moves to somewhere different, he says, "Ah, peace at last," only to be disappointed. And you know, often I think we're a bit like that. We want to find peace. Sometimes we look for it in all sorts of different ways and different places. Sometimes the wrong places. And sometimes circumstances beyond our control affect us to rob us of the peace that we seek. It can be an elusive thing. But we all want peace, don't we? Whether it's we watch the news and we'd like to see world peace, and Donald Trump is obviously here to make sure that that's going to happen with his all the wars that he supposedly ended. We want to find peace in our lives. We want to find peace in our families. I'm sure as anybody who's been a parent of young children has at times wished for a few minutes' peace. We want peace in our church and we want peace in our hearts. And confusion and disappointment and worries and uncertainties, they disturb us, don't they? It might be the loss of someone who's close to us. It might be a serious illness. It might be a setback at work or at church, or when things don't work out in the way that we thought things were going to, when we thought God was leading us in one direction and it turned out that that wasn't the case. And I have to admit, I've certainly felt that way recently with things that have happened to us as a church, and I suspect that some of you have too. And so we have doubts sometimes and troubles and questions, and they make peace hard to find. Well, Paul here promises us that it's possible for us to find peace that exceeds understanding. A peace that's not dependent on everything making sense, and a peace that guards our hearts and minds. And verse 6 gives us four simple steps to achieve that. It's not complicated. It's very practical and accessible to everybody. And these are four steps that I've relied on for the last few years, ever since I first read this verse in this translation. In some ways, it's probably been the most important verse for me. I know it's not a John 3:16, or no one's going to put it on a poster. But if I wanted to highlight one verse in particular that I wanted to put on a wall as a reminder to myself, this would be it. So I'm bringing that today because I hope that you'll find it useful to you too, but also because I've needed to remind myself of it again. So we're going to start off and work our way through the four of them. I don't have lots to say about them. Don't worry, we are going to sing soon. So the first one says, don't worry about anything. That's easy to say, isn't it? And a lot more difficult to do. Let me tell you what this is not. This is not some trite or banal kind of slogan that you might see on a sticker or on a mug, you know. Don't worry, be happy. Keep calm and carry on. This is not that. Paul is not telling us to deny any of our worries or anxieties. He's not telling us to pretend that nothing's wrong. We're not being asked to switch off our emotions. What Paul wants us to do, what we're being asked to do here, is to make a choice to refuse to let our worries and our anxieties rule our lives. To choose to focus on other things rather than the things that worry us. To stop ourselves going over those things that worry us, those what-ifs, those worst-case scenarios. And we've all done it. You let those things go round in your head again and again and again, even though you know that you're not going to find an answer to them. And that's what makes us feel anxious. Anxiety has been described to me in a very helpful way as negative thinking about the future, and that's exactly what it is. So we have to make a deliberate choice to focus on different things. Now, we're going to come to sing now, but I want you to look at this hymn carefully. So this is a hymn that's not in Mission Praise, but it's a well-known hymn. It's Be Still My Soul, and it's to the tune of Finlandia by Sibelius. I'm sure you'll have heard of it. And it was written by a lady called Catherine von Schlegel, and we don't know much about her, but this was written, I don't know, I haven't worked it out, it's well over 400 years ago. But what this is, this hymn, is a great example of what I've just been talking about. This is Catherine von Schlegel talking to herself, telling herself not to be worried and to be calm and to be still. And she's doing that by reminding herself of the God who's in control and of all the reasons why she doesn't need to be worried. Because when we get anxious, we're focused on ourselves. And what Paul wants us to do is to focus on God. And the other points that we'll go through emphasize this. Peace comes from trusting God, but trust is a choice. We might not always feel like it, but we can still act in accordance with the faith that we have. When Jesus was talking to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, he told them not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. And he says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? He goes on to say, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So having said that, saying don't worry about anything is easy to say, but difficult to do, how can we actually do it? Well, first is to take those fears and doubts or anxieties to God and to confess them to him. Tell him about them. But leave them there. Leave them with him. So notice where if we start going over those things in our minds again, notice that we're doing it and stop them. Change the narrative if we can. And direct your thoughts onto other things, which is what we're told to do in verse 8 of this passage. And try not to have conversations with people that are just going to allow you to repeat the same negative thoughts or worries. Try and choose people who are going to help you, who will help you to refocus on something else, give you a different perspective. So there's just a few practical things. But the second point will also help us. So point two is pray about everything. Not pray about some things, but pray about everything. Instead of thinking about your fears and your worries and your doubts, pray about them. Give the problem to God. Because there's no problem that's too big for him to deal with. And there's no issue that's too small for him to care about. So we can take everything to him. We can pray about everything. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. See, that's the thing about taking everything to God in prayer, isn't it? We know that actually we've got a God who wants to listen to us, who wants to hear our prayers, who wants us to share those things with him. So prayer should be not just something that we do at a particular time. Maybe whether you have a quiet time at the start of the day or at the end of the day or whenever you do it. But prayer should be an anywhere, anytime, any place activity. In fact, it should be like a natural conversation. When you think about it, you wouldn't spend all day with somebody and not speak to them and say, I'm going to save everything that I want to save for the last half hour before we go to bed. Would you? But that's what we often do with God. Sometimes we make prayer out to be, you know, especially if you're a new Christian, you listen to other Christians pray. Maybe we use different language or we speak in different ways. I know I used to listen to my dad praying in prayer meetings, and he would use his telephone voice. And yet, actually, it should be like a natural, normal conversation with our with our Father. So we need to stop seeing it as a specialised or a separate activity and think of it as a continuous conversation. So it's not something that we need to spend ages doing at one time. There's nothing to stop us doing a very quick, what sometimes is called an arrow prayer. There's nothing to stop us just saying one sentence as a particular situation arises, to say, just give me the right words to say here, Lord, or help me with this. And if we start making it that kind of activity, that kind of routine part of our lives, then we'll find it's much easier and we are much more naturally taking everything to God in prayer. But you need to find a way that works for you. Now, I find actually the best way that works for me is to go out for a walk. Because if I sit down at home, there's too many other distractions. If I go out for a walk, particularly if I do it late at night, there's nothing else around. There's nothing else I can do. And that's the best way for me, but you know, you need to find your own way. So point number three, tell God what you need. And the obvious point to make here is that it doesn't say, tell God what you want. Often we might want God to give us answers or to do something about a particular problem or to get something that we don't have or to tell us something, explain something that we don't understand. And a lot of those things we don't need the answers that we want. But what do we actually need? Well, we need the basics to support our lives, but often things that we need are personal qualities to be able to deal with situations, whether it's wisdom or patience or humility or courage or love. Sometimes some of the worries and anxieties that we have are linked to our inability to use some of the qualities or the characteristics that we need. So if we focus on what it is that we need rather than what it is that we want, then really what we're doing is we're shifting our focus more from what we would like our lives to be like, and we will inevitably find ourselves focusing more on God, on what God wants us to be. We often want God to change our circumstances, but sometimes if we think about what we need, we realise that actually what needs to change is us, so that we can deal with those situations differently. We are running short on time, so I'm going to move on to point four, which is thank him for all that he has done. Well, in lots of ways, you don't really need me to tell you that we should be grateful and we should spend our time thanking God. But it's amazing how often we forget, isn't it? You only have to listen to a prayer meeting and you'll find that there's probably a lot more requests than there are prayers of thanksgiving. And that's often the way in our own prayers. We start off by doing some of the things that we've mentioned. We tell God about the things that are worrying us. We ask him for things that we think will help us. But often we forget to spend the time thanking him. We might thank him for something that's happened today, maybe, or an answer to a prayer that we made yesterday. But actually, do we really devote a reasonable amount of our prayer time to thinking about all the blessings that we have and thanking God for them. Because actually there is so much to thank God for. Just the basic things, first of all, like life, health, family, friends. Things that we take for granted, but things that we should remember to thank God for. The things that we need day to day, like food, shelter, warmth, security, freedom. Things that, as Andy prayed, other people in the world don't all enjoy. We can look at the world around us and see the beauty of creation, and we can see flowers appearing and spring starting to arrive at the moment, can't we? So even just by looking at our lives around us, there is so much to thank God for. But when we start thinking about it in a spiritual sense, we can thank God for his love for us and his care for us. We can thank him for Jesus and who he is and what he did. And the fact that he came to give himself as a sacrifice so that we can have peace with God. We can thank God for his word and for his church. We can thank him for our own individual salvation. And we can thank him and remember particular times in the past when he helped us. I'm sure many of us have got a particular time or times that we look back on as being a particularly close experience of God. And we maybe look back on sometimes. And it's good to do that and to thank God for those. We can thank God for the people who've been a positive help and influence in our lives, not just now, but in the past. Maybe people who died 20 years ago. We can still thank God for the part that they played in making us the people that we are today. And we can thank him for the small things that happened today as well, and for the answers to our prayer. The point is that we should get into the habit both of saying thank you to God every time that something good happens, but we need to cultivate the habit of thinking, going over in our minds, all the things that we have to be grateful for. And for me, this is the most powerful of the four steps. Because if you do that, if you spend a reasonable amount of time doing that, that completely shifts your focus and perspective away from me or my problems or my worries or my anxieties, whatever, to make you realize how much you have to be grateful for and how God has played such an active part all through your life and kept you to where you are now. So that is, for me, the most important thing. So there we've got four steps, four simple things that we need to do. And Paul assures us that if we do them, we will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. That doesn't mean all our problems and our worries and our doubts are going to disappear, but it will allow us to be at peace within ourselves about them. You see, what we think about, what we fill our minds with, what we dwell on shapes us. So thanking God helps us think about, as verse 8 says, the things that are true and honourable and right and good. So finally, just three quick things. So first of all, does this work? Well, absolutely, yes, it does work. And this is the reason I say it's the most important verse that I need to remind myself of in lots of ways, because I know when I follow it, I do feel at peace, and when I don't, I don't. So I know it works, and I've proved it works time and time again. And funnily enough, often the times when I'm the best at sticking to it are the times when I maybe have the most difficulty or the most troubles, and that, so that proves more than anything that it works. Why does it work? Well, it works because it stops us focusing our attention on ourselves, and it makes us look at God. And the more time we spend focusing on him rather than ourselves, the better we'll be. And it allows us to leave those things in his hands. But with these four things, they're all linked in lots of ways, but you have to do them all. You can't do one of them and think that that will work. There's no way you will be able to stop yourself from worrying if you don't do the other three. So finally, is it easy? Well, the answer is yes and no. Because it's very simple, isn't it? The instructions, anybody can understand them. It doesn't need any special knowledge or abilities. We can all do those four things. But no, it's not easy because it requires discipline. It's something that we've got to embed into the daily rhythm of our lives. And it's something that it's very easy to let drift because other things get in the way and we lose focus. So we need to find ways of reminding ourselves. So one of the things, take this home with you. Pin it up somewhere. That's what I'm going to do. To remind you, four simple things to do every day. To, if you like, to make sure that you are more at peace for your own spiritual health. And if you do that, God will, as he promises, give us his peace. A peace that exceeds anything we could understand. Father, thank you for this time together. We pray that you'll bless each one of us as we leave here and help us to put into practice the things that we've thought about this morning so that we will know your peace, Lord, your peace that guards our hearts and minds in Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you will bless each one of us in that way, in the name of Jesus. Amen.